Tsima Perikei is the, again, one go back. Everybody has to be involved in some kind of ishtadlis, yeah? Except the two rates, the dikim, whatever. We have to be involved in each ishtadlis, yeah? How much? Well, that's not a subject. Aval, there's a big difference. We said seven major differences between somebody who has betochen and somebody who doesn't have betochen when he's oisek in his ishtadlis. I mean, there's not that. There's been a baal betochen and not a baal betochen. Is the baal betochen doesn't make ishtadlis? And no, we're all involved in ishtadlis. We're going to the doctor. We find where we're working. We're doing whatever we're doing in the different areas. But you'll see there's a big difference. So the first one we said was seven differences we saw, yeah, between the baal betochen and the not baal betochen. So the first one, the difference was we said that the baal betochen, he's satisfied with whatever Hashem goes with for him. He thanks him for the good, he thanks him for the ra. Everything's coming from Hashem, HaKol Tov, and he is happy with everything that Hashem is doing for him. His matzif is always exactly what it wants it to be. He has to make ishtadlis if he needs to change it. He has to daven if he wants to change it. What was the loshen? And someone who's not a boter b'Hashem, when things are good, then he tells you what a wonderful, you know, he tells you how clever he is. And when it's not going so well, then, yeah. Okay. So that's the first difference. The first difference about b'tochen is his first step, no matter what happens, is he recognized coming from Hashem, b'kol tov. An extension of that is that a boterch belokim, he has lenafshei menuche, is what we call menuches hanefesh. Veliboy shalva, he's calm, he's tranquil, he's peaceful. No matter what situation, Hashem gozer on him. That's a very high level, incredibly high level. Because he knows that Hashem is doing exactly what's good for him in this world and the next world, Morgan. Whatever's happening is coming from Hashem, so therefore it's for the good. Ah, it doesn't look good to me. Yeah, but it's for the good. It's about betochen, so they feel secure and calm and tranquil no matter what's going on. That's what we're striving for. Tells you what's the goal? What are we looking for in betochen? Betochen means I feel secure. You feel secure, so then you're calm and relaxed and tranquil. That's what we're striving for. That's the end goal. That was the beginning of the story, and it's the end of the story. Right at the beginning. Even before that. You want to be worry-free, which is tranquil and peaceful. You have to have a talk in Hashem. There's no other way. So that's why we started on this journey. Come on, Shama Dovan HaMelech. Ah, sorry, just 1 second. In Olam HaZeh, it's a little bit easier to get menuchas and nefesh when things are not going the way you want. And you say, yeah. Can understand because Baruch Hashem I had a flat tire because I wasn't on the road, and I've been on the road. Maybe I, God forbid, I would have an accident. It's easy to cook up things, yeah. You can find, but Olam Haba, we have no idea. We have no idea. With Olam Haba, you start looking at the world, you see suffering, you see what people go through, what Yidden have been through. Take the Holocaust, for example. The Holocaust. You show me where the good there. If I'm good there, that's easy to see because most of that good has to do with Gilgulim, it has to do with things that happened in the world before, things are going to be in the world in Olam Haba. We have no tfisa on that data. Much easier to say, you understand why the lights went out because there were robbers and burglars, and if my lights been on, they would have seen mouse, you know, Rabbi Akiva. You know the famous story with Rabbi Akiva, yeah. Well, the chicken got eaten and the donkey got eaten. Yeah, all call it tovat. It's easier to see that in this world. But when we look at the suffering, sometimes you can't find reasons. Yeah, you have to say we don't understand. Because most of what's going on is Olam Haba stuff. So that's why it's easy to wrap around, because we don't know anything about Olam Haba. We're not even sure we believe in Olam Haba. We have some sort of hope that there is such a thing, but to say we really have Imun in Olam Haba, I don't think I'm for sure. Okay. We spoke about it earlier a lot, but I'm saying it's to find intellectually, yeah, this is a kol tova. You stub your toe, a kol tova, you suri machaprim. You know, we got all sorts of nice saying, but at the end of the day, real suffering, Rahman and Litzlan, you it's not so easy to say, well, you know, that was good. You have to be Menachem Abel, somebody who's sitting shiva for a child, God forbid. Child passed away, it happens. So, now, obviously, you shouldn't say anything, keep your mouth shut. But think to yourself, well, where's the good here? It's not so easy to find the good in Olama. You know what I'm saying? In Olam Haba terms, for sure it's good. Everybody intellectually knows that that I'm tranquil with it, and I'm calm with it, and I'm at peace with it. And don't go for shit. Don't fool yourself. So simple. So simple. Kamo shama dover ha-melech ha-vasholam. Ach le-lokim doi minavshi ki mimenu tikvosi. Ach le-lokim doi minavshi. Keep quiet. I calm my soul. Because my hope is coming from Hashem. Not necessarily all of those at one time, but somebody has no betochen in Hashem, whether it's good or bad, he's always worried. When things are good, why should he be worried and be sad and be miserable? We know people like that. Because Yesh Mono writes him a sign. The more he gets, the more miserable he begins. It's an obvious mathematical formula that Chazal gave us. The more you get, the more miserable you're going to be. Guaranteed. I'll show you now. It's Poshut. He always wants more. Why does he always want more? He wanted a million, he wanted a house and two cars, he's got it. So he should, now he's got what he wanted, and I should always be happy. And we know he'll be happy for a while. He'll have a bit of excitement for a while, and then he'll be miserable, and he need another car, and a third car, and a new, and refurbish the kitchen, and he's always looking for more. Why? Because I'll tell us, Yesh Mona writes a Messiah. Yesh Messiah writes a Abamot. Yesh Abamot writes Yesh Monamot. I don't know why it's exactly double, and then it's Thursday, but it always has to be more. You're always going to want more than you want. Why? Let's just finish this paragraph and then I'll explain it to you. That's not bad enough. That's when things are good, is a misery. But when things are bad, now he's mamash upset with the situation because it goes against these tigers. This is against everything he wants. He doesn't want this. But from a shamelech hachochem, Kol yemei oini ram v'toiv leiv mishte tomid. So he says in the Pischa Levia from Matsudas David, Misha einu samach b'chelkoi, that's what we're talking about, afal pi sheyesh dai machsoir, even though he has enough, he has everything he needs, hu shrei kol yomav v'tzar be'etzev, he's always suffering, he said, mipnei shu mekane b'mi sheyesh lo yosim mimeni, because he's always jealous of the guy above him. He's never happy with the situation. He's always working very hard to get more than what he's got. One of the major benefits of being a Samach Pachelko is you're not jealous of anybody else. Because you're happy with what you got. You're not lacking anything. Every day is a party. Every day is just wonderful. Because you're not lacking anything. He has everything. You have everything, sure, have everything. The Reb Zusha, the Baal Shem Tov sent to the Chassid, he wanted to know how you can have Biba Simcha when you're suffering. It's all very well when you've got more or less what you want. Really, sort of few things will survive. But when you're really, really riddled with suffering, how can Biba Simcha? So the Baal Shem Tov said, go ask the Reb Zusha that question. It's a question for the Reb Zusha. They traveled off the island to Reb Zusha, went down to where he lived. Where does Reb Zusha live? Over there. I'm poverty stricken, little kids outside, terrible scene, like a refugee camp kind of a scene, if you have to madame what it looked like. Yeah, they knocked on the door, you the Reb Zusha, yeah. The Baal Shem Tov sent me. Baal Shem Tov knows about me. He must be making a mistake. You got the wrong address. He said, No. The Baal Shem Tov Sinam is coming and ask you how it's possible to be suffering and still be besimcha. Is it, for sure you've made a mistake? I don't know. I've never suffered in my life. What do you mean you never suffered in your life? It's the Mach Pachel coin. He's not suffering. Nochemish Gamzu, the suffering Korav Li'ioiv. Paul, what? Gamzu the Toiv? Gamzu the Toiv. Kol Tov. Where is happy? Samach Pachel coin. Tov, I'm talking, but that's the vote. Kol Yamai Ani Roy, the Toiv Leiv, Mishta Tomid. Toiv Leiv, Mishta Tomid. He's the wealthiest guy in the world. So why, if you have 200, you want 400? What carefully? You want 200 because you've got a hole somewhere. There's a hole somewhere in your heart. There's something there that you need to fill. So you fill it, but with the wrong thing. What's the right thing? We'll come back to that now. But you fill it with the wrong thing. So what does it do? It makes you feel a little bit happy for a few days. And then the happiness goes away because you haven't filled the hole in your heart. And now what? You've got to find something else to fill the hole. But it can't be what you already had because you tried that. It didn't work, so you have to get more. Now that as Rav Miller said, no garage ever yearned for a car. Why do you want a car? Well, there's this empty space in the garage, and the garage really needs a car. No. You want a car because you have a hole in your heart, and you think the car will fill the hole in your heart. Whatever that hole is, using a very generic term. But you buy the car, and then it's gewaldig for a few days. You feel like, wow, you're on cloud nine, yeah? And you know what happens? After a few days, weeks, months, I don't know how long it takes, you go back to feeling more miserable than you were. So now what do you need? Now you need two cars. Why? Because one car didn't work. So maybe I'll get the fancier car, or I'll get a holiday home. And you're always looking for something more. Now watch this. One more step. If you have 100 and you want 200, what's your lack? 100. Now when you have 200 and you want 400, what's your lack? 200. So the more you get, the more poor you're becoming because your lack is getting bigger and bigger. You see these guys running around New York and Canary Wharf. You see them. Because the more he's got, the more he wants. So he's becoming poorer and poorer. There were a few rare individuals in world Jewish history that were very wealthy and had a lot of money, and they were happy because they understood this. They knew it wasn't their money. They knew what to do with their money, and they were fine. But most people today who don't know what to do with their money, yeah, and want more and more and more and more and more, they're miserable. You have a guy, and you have a guy, whatever. So you fly economy class, yeah? And then you see the guys in business class. So you want to be in business class once in your life. You get upgraded. It happened to me. I got upgraded to business class. It was torture. The next time I had to fly economy class. I was never bothered by economy class. Very happy to fly economy class. So they bounce you up to business class once, and now you try and fly economy class after them. What kasher? So now you're sitting in economy class, and you're coughing. Mamash, you want to be in business? So you work very hard to get to business class. Yeah, now you've got points and you, whatever, you do platinum and whatever. Now you fly business class. Yeah, I knew a guy like this. Yeah. So once I see him at the airport, I told him, because we sometimes flew together. I said, you're flying aloud. He said, no, he's not flying. I said, why not? He said, because they didn't have any seats in first class. But so what? So fly business class. Nah, he can't fly business class anymore. So he was flying another airline, whatever, because there he could get a seat on first class. And what happens when that doesn't work for you anymore? You get your own private jet. And you just keep going and aim the dog a soft. Then you have to have your own private space company to take you to the moon. Oh, that's what that says. When you were flying economy class, you were happy. And you were very wealthy yid, old school Jew. Very wealthy. You can drive around Yerushalayim, you see his name on a lot of buildings. South Africa, Beit Shemesh, there's some buildings of his. I think you'll see his name too much on it, whatever. Anyway. So he's flying business, he's flying economy class. I'm sitting with him, and he's sitting, I'm here, and he's over there with his wife. So I said to him, what are you doing in economy class? What's the matter? You can't afford a seat in business class? He said, I don't mind being uncomfortable for 8 hours. There's plenty I could do with that money. He said, let the youngsters sit in business class. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you worked it out yet. So anyway, say his name. Let the youngsters sit inside in front there, whatever. This guy could have bought the plane without any problems. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind being uncomfortable now. There's plenty of them. That's a guy who's healthy. That's this guy here. No, no strength for your tail. So my bachel koi. The very simple poshut law. The old yidden, I knew the old yidden, the old like my grandfather's contemporaries, wealthy, wealthy people. You would never have known. You're driving the same car for 10 years. You know, living in the same house there, never venture, whatever. So you see, the youngsters came along, started making money. Oh, did you know they were wealthy? They buy a car, they refurbish the house. Why? Because they're miserable. That's the Yesod. Now, what's it got to do with us? So, for sure, we have things lacking and we want things and we have our contradictions with Hashem and whatever. You have to find it in Kudus where you could be Samach B'Chelkoi. Be the Samach B'Chelkoi. That's the Avodah. Baal B'Tochen is somebody who knows that whatever he's got is from Hashem. But called Tov, and he's satisfied with it. You want to make his status, you want to daven for other things you feel you need, gesundheit, do it. I would love to have more of this. I would like to do more of this. So you're welcome to ask for it. After you, Samach B'Chelkoi. It's not so simple to find that balance. You want eights, I got into good eights. Before you bring anything new into your house, think long and hard. Before you do something new, think long and hard. Because once you've got it, you can't live without it. And it's a catalyst for wanting more. I'm not saying don't bring it into the house. Just because everybody's got it isn't a reason why I have to have it. Maybe it's a good thing to have. Hashem gives us resources in the world. But today, the air conditioner is not a big discussion. Everyone has air conditioning. But not that long ago, it was a shame that you buy air conditioner. Don't you buy air conditioner? Think twice before you bring an air conditioner. Today, I'm not talking about today. That's possible. They're not having air conditioner. You have air conditioning today. But why were you the first guy to buy an air conditioner? People are living without air. Why do you? Because once you've got it, you need it. And then it's you can't get rid of it afterwards. Probably it's not a good example, but whatever. There's lots of things that you bring into our homes. Think twice. Very often we don't bring it into home because we're trying to be too frumt. It's also not good. Hashem gave you this resource. Why not use it? It gives you a bit of yeshiva das and menuchas and nefesh, and you can be a better parent or better learn or whatever. Then for sure it's there to be used. Not so. You know, we don't live in a damp basement and eat onions because we're trying to be some out of health. You become depressed and miserable. You have to know who you are and what. A lot of, but at least to think about it, be aware of it. Okay, even though he's involved in needs of panosa, he doesn't trust them. Then what he's relying on? He has no anticipation of any benefit from the studies he's making. Nothing. And he also doesn't think the ishtalis he's making will cause him any nezek. Once again, you made the correct decision about your ishtalis. Talking about somebody just leaped in and started doing ishtalis out of the blue because you have to make ishtalis, and now he's making ishtalis, and he's working 73 hours a day, so you have to make ishtalis. Oh, he's cheshboned out that this is the correct ishtalis based on all the factors of ishtalis. The two main nakudas when you're deciding ishtalis is to make sure that you do enough that you're not trial arishoinus, so you don't have regret that you didn't make enough. And the other one is you have to do not so much that you start believing in your ishtadlis. If you make too much ishtadlis, you start believing in the ishtadlis. Yeah, you have the problem. It's a very delicate balance between making enough, not making too little, because otherwise you'll regret that you never made enough when it doesn't work, and you'll destroy your betochen that you did have. We've spoken about that at length here. And the other thing is make ishtadlis, don't make too much ishtadlis. If you're making too much ishtadlis, you might start believing in your ishtadlis. You start thinking it's shtadlis that's doing the outcome, wherever it is. Hold on, get a front. Okay, no, that's what I'm saying. I wasn't good for these, but I think they're serious. I wanted to know someone's make your shtadlis. We all a little bit of thought, don't worry. Okay. So that's the idea. It's a very delicate balance. But once you've made your cheshbon, this is the right ishtadlis for me, it's the appropriate ishtadlis. What are all the criteria that he gave? I'm not making too much ishtadlis, I'm making too little ishtadlis. Now you don't trust in the ishtadlis. You do it because you're going to make ishtadlis and say, oh, whatever the reasons are why you're making ishtadlis, but I don't trust the ishtadlis. Now there's very important ramifications in this. There's no benefit coming from it, and they can't harm me. Hashem doesn't want. Or maybe sometimes Hashem does want. Why is he involved in ishtadlis? Because Hashem told him that's what you have to do. So whatever, again, Ishtadus is in our subject now. Now, this is the big ramifications in our day-to-day existence. Very often have to go ask Charles when this starts happening. What happens if the child is very successful? You start seeing benefit from it. You start seeing, it starts saving you from damage. As you might as well, Kim Levone, thanks Hashem alone, not the Ishtadlis. Not the Ishtadlis. You did a good business deal, you made a lot of money, your Ishtadlis was very successful. Oh, so who do you thank? Hashem. Because Ishtadlis doesn't do anything. So you're only thanking Hashem for the benefit. It's not so simple. Especially when you're doing Ishtadlis, that's supposed to look like you're doing something. Hashem didn't ask you to stand in your head and recite Krishna's Balpe and a kick comes into your account. You know that's got nothing to do with you. But very often, it looks like it had something to do with me. Had I made the call, had I not made the call, had I said the right thing at the right time, I chose the right lawyer, I had the right estate agent, I bought a good deal, the deal with the shares, I researched it, I went into it, I was very clever. Nothing to do with that. You thank Hashem alone. He doesn't love his occupation more than that. For sure, he should enjoy the studies you're making. It's one of the things he gave. It's one of the criteria, you know, you're doing the right thing, you're good at it and you enjoy it. But he doesn't love the Sishtadis because it's giving him all these wonderful benefits. He doesn't rely on them more because of it. That's the danger, you see. You start making Sishtadis, you start being Matzliach and whatever, you start believing in the Sishtadis. Very dangerous. The Sishtadis has to be made in such a way that you can't believe in the Sishtadis. Get it? It's not so simple to find that Nakuda. Very, very hard. Okay, so the Torah wasn't given to Malach, it was given to me and you. And what is it? He uses that shlocha he's seen to mechazik his betochen more and to rely more and more on Hashem. And not the ishtadlises that he's osek in. He doesn't come to believe in them at all. Now, what happens if the ishtadlis, the business, is not going so well? Not going so well. Again, he made the right decisions about choosing this business. He chose the wrong ishtadlis, you may have to revise. But we're talking about we made the right decision. So the panos will come in Hashem wants. Which ishtadlis Hashem wants, where Hashem wants. And he doesn't become angry or gives up the ishtadlis. He doesn't give up this business that he's doing, this ishtadlis. I'll show you now. Halacha kelamaisa is not so poshut. I'm not doing this ishtadlis because I want to get money. He's making the ishtadlis because Hashem told him to make ishtadlis, and the money comes from wherever. Good question. That's what I'm dealing with now. That's what I'm dealing with now. Don't deal with now. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right, 100% right. You chose the Ishtadlis, you'd be going to get the Ishtadlis. And against it, that's just not happening. Tomorrow, the Makolet's going to, your wife's going to go to the Makolet, and he's going to say, sorry, tell your husband to come and pay, so you can't use the Makolet. These are real life struggles. This is happening to people. There's a mortgage payment, there's kids. Hashmal, mine, you know, you've got a lot of bills. A lot of bills, yeah? A lot of expenses, you know? So once had a Talmud, chose the right ishtadlis, he was Oisik in ishtadlis, and month after month, yashreklik. It was mamish, his panosa was horrible. He happened to be a very good kid. He happened to be a very close Talmud of Yaakov Hillel. Very close Talmud. So I told him, go ask Yaakov Hillel. He was a Talmud of ours, you know, but you're not going to lose his baby. Earned by him. Go ask Yaakov Hillel. Can't get better than that. Is that what Rav Hillel? Rav Hillel said, you're making the right ishtadlis, carry on. What am I going to do? Yeah, what am I going to do? Shem Yazol. This went on for months, and he woke up. I used to send him every 2 weeks to go to Rav Hillel. I couldn't handle it anymore. I'm not a Baal B'Tochen. And you see a guy like him. But off. After all, he told him to change something, to do something, whatever. Just because it doesn't look like the status is working, There's going to be the panosa. There's other reasons why the panosa is not happy. Not because you're making not enough ishtadlus or too much. Maybe making too much ishtadlus. I don't know. It's a difficult halacha lamais when you're involved in these situations. Very, very delicate. Not poshut. Because you're being tested as well. Do you borrow in the meantime? Can't you borrow? Can you borrow? How are you going to pay back? A lot of complicated questions going on here. You have to ask Charles, not poshut. But the bottom line is the work, where does this work for us? Don't trust the ishtadlus. If you do trust the ishtadlus, we accept reality in this group. I'm trusting the ishtadlus more than I trust Hashem. Accept it. That's reality. Find some small way of getting out of it. When something happens good and you're starting to trust yourself and whatever, set aside 30 seconds to say, Hashem, I know this is all from you. It hasn't been yet. It's still up here. Help me to understand that it's all from you. Doesn't for Hashem to help you to have more betochen to see that the status is doing less. There's work yet to be done.
It's much easier when things are going well to know that your status is not being good.
Of course.
When things aren't going well, then you all of a sudden I need to troubleshoot, try on the air.
100%. What happens when you do these studies? You change something, and then suddenly the money starts coming. Stop believing the studies. Nachon. That's why this is a lifetime's work. Lo pashut. I know somebody went to speak to Rav Shach. He was learning 2 Siddurim a day. Rav Shach told me he has to work 1 Seder a day. He has to work at night, whatever. He was struggling, whatever, a little bit. But his wife wanted him to go learn again. His wife wasn't interested in him working. She wanted to learn 3 Siddurim. No, went back to Rav Shach. Rav Shach said, bring me all your bills. Let's see your whole financial situation. Sat down with him for over an hour, with his whole financial situation, whatever. And told him, You need to work. Tell your wife, I said, you have to work 1 Saturday a day. You can't follow. It wasn't just the Tochen airy fairy. The mice, he sits with an autumn bottle and he looks at it. I know 2 cases, 2 stories. La Mesa, I heard them from the Rav himself. Again, you have to be careful here because you have to know each case of this particular person. But the klalim, I'm saying, there was a guy who's learning full time, and he came to a Rav, very harsh of a very frum Rav, not a Rav who's, but very frum Rav, understands the value of learning. Big Baal Batochen himself. And in those days, I don't know if you remember, the phone calls used to be cheaper after 10 o'clock at night. Phone calls used to be very expensive. After 10, you can make cheaper calls, whatever. But his wife, after 10, it's not a nice time for her to talk. She's tired, she's exhausted, she wants to go to bed, she wants to talk during the expensive hours. And he can't afford it. So he went to the Rav to ask him what he should do. So he said, get a job. Get a job. If you can't afford to pay for your wife's phone calls, she's got a ksuva, then get a job. Another guy also came, he said, when he gets home between the afternoon Seder, night Seder, whatever, he's got very little time to make calls. When he comes home, his wife's always on the phone. What did he do? So Rob said, get another phone line. He said, but I can't afford it. He said, so then get a job. Again, you can't afford it. So when do we get a job? What makes sure the job too? Because we're not whole, we're not Bale Betofer. And a very close friend went to Yitzhak Shainer Zatzal to talk about his financial situation or whatever. Yitzhak told him, you're not allowed into the base midrash until you're taking care of your financial responsibilities. Eventually, he said to himself, but what about the Chayes HaLavavos? What about the Nefesh HaChaim? He said, go get a job and afterwards I'll debate Chayes HaLavavos and Nefesh HaChaim with you as long as you want. He agreed in the end that he could learn an hour a day. He allowed him to learn an hour a day until he was able to support his family. Again, you can't, no one can take these Halalim for yourself. But the principles are principles. You have to know. You have to know who you are. You have to be real.
Sounds to me, what I'm hearing, it's almost the same. You have to live in the world. Sorry. I should essentially.